Over the last few weeks, we have been looking at these, presenting ourselves as a living stone for a vibrant life. Our bricks have been showing us that. We've still got bricks. If you still want to take one home, put it somewhere to remind you of this is who we are. This is what we are about. And we've also been looking at these four key elements of come, serve, join, and this week, give. Now, what does that really mean? Well, being part of St. Philip's, we are on this new journey where we want to be committed to being people who are generous. Not people who are just out for ourselves, but people who want to give stuff away. Everything that we've received from God, we want to give away. That is the ultimate dream. The dream is also that we will not just serve our and reach our community or the city or just the north. It sounds like eternity and beyond is what Buzz Lightyear said, that great theologian. But like the dream is massive. And one of the ways that becomes a reality is how we are can be generous people. Psalm 112:5 says, good things will come to those who are generous. That's what it says in the leaflet. So, our gospel reading comes from probably the most important sermon ever talked about. Sadly, it's not Gareth's. It is the Sermon on the Mount, approximately 18 minutes long, with 348 different images from everyday life. And 221 times, Jesus says you instead of some people. This is something really, really significant. It is teaching that would fill the stadiums over and over. And yet, what is it that Jesus does? He sees the crowds, goes up on a mountainside, sits down, and speaks to his disciples. He just starts to teach them. This is not like the top ranked officials. This is not the top leaders of the day. This is just a bunch of fishermen and a tax collector to help with the money. It's just ordinary people. People like you and me. Then Jesus gives the beautiful Beatitudes, doesn't he? How we should live. And then, interestingly, in verse 12, he says, now rejoice, because you're going to get insulted because of following me. At that point, I might wonder whether this is the point I would tag out and I would walk down the side of the mountain. But actually, as we read those first 12 verses of Matthew 5, we should not be surprised by what comes next. If we are rooted in those first 12 verses, then actually the next 8 actually become a little bit easier to live out. So, Matthew 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. Matthew 14. You are the light of the world. The Message translation puts it like this. And I love the Message translation because I'm an image person. I love to see images. And so when I read it, I can see it a little bit clearly than I can in other translations. So it puts it like this. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of the earth. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors of the world. Maybe it doesn't sit 100% well with us, but actually, these salt and light are not optional extras. This is who we are as followers of Jesus. This is who the disciples were signing up for, and this is who we are. We are salt of the earth. It's not something we can pick and choose. It is what we are. So what is it that salt does? Well, it preserves things. It stops decay. You know, like, and it really hurts when you get it in your finger, doesn't it? Because it's got that kind of healing property about it as well. You know, Jesus' day, they wouldn't have had fridges and freezers. So actually what they used was an awful lot of salt to keep meat and other things fresher for a bit longer. But actually that's quite negative when you think about it stops decay. But then thinking about we are the salt of the earth, maybe we are here to stop the decay of the world and the evil around it. Maybe we are here to bring some of that healing properties. Light, well, that's very different, isn't it? Light has got a bit more positive about it. It dispels darkness. Now, as a little boy, I was a little bit afraid of the dark. I've only just got over it. And I used to have one of these. A glow worm. It was actually the pink one I had. Because I lost in a fight with my brother, and he got the one who was purple. So, what would happen is at bedtime, it would be put inside like this big kind of paper lantern globe thing, and the light would be on while I had my stories. And then when the lights were turned out and my world went dark, there was my little glowworm. Sat on the side of my bed, glowing. Why? Because it had absorbed the light from its source. Isaiah says, we are to be a light to the nations. That is why it's important that we gather on a Sunday so that we absorb from the source. And the source isn't Gareth or Chris or me, or it's God. God is our source, and daily we need to be absorbed in that. We need to be like mini sponges, okay? Is another way I've thought about it. But then we've also got the warning, haven't we? Don't let salt lose its saltiness. And you don't put a bowl over a light. And you can't hide a city on a hill. It's actually impossible. The salt, I did a bit of research, Wikipedia, Google it. Salt marshes was where all the salt came from, but it was just dug up and it had a load bunch of other impurities with it. And when they were washing it out, a lot of the actual proper salt was washed away. And so it looked like salt, but it wasn't salt. It didn't look after anything. It didn't preserve anything. Do we know people maybe like that? There's a challenge. Our natural role as followers of Jesus is to make a difference, is to shine brightly in our world. So what does that mean for us being generous? Well, verse 16 helps us out. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. When we shine, when we are the difference in the world, we start to reflect Jesus. We start to resemble that family likeness that we have with the Father. They will look at us and go, there's something different about you. How generous are we with our smiles, especially on a Monday morning? How generous are we with our actions? I would love this place to be a church where we are generous with our actions. And it doesn't mean we have to walk around looking like superheroes. But when we are generous, when we have been absorbed and we go out and we do this stuff, it becomes easier. Claire and I, my wife, we met when we were 17. I went off to a big conference not long after we'd started going out, a Christian conference. And I spent a week. I wasn't the world's greatest Christian. At the time, Claire wasn't a Christian. Caused many interesting discussions in our church. But I went to this conference. I spent a week absorbed, bathing in God and His Holy Spirit. I came back and Claire said, the first thing she said to me, what happened to you? There's something different about you. And she noticed the way that I'd started to act differently, which then led to her finding out and asking more questions. The more we are generous with who we are with other people, how we act, people will start to notice. Ephesians 5, verses 8 and 9 says this: "For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true." So let's be generous with our actions. Let's be generous with our time. We need to be, why we keep rushing from one thing to another. I am really, really bad at just looking at my phone every 2 seconds, even though it's not gone off. When I'm meeting with people, I'm like, oh, I might get an email and I'll look at it and I'll forget I'm actually here to talk to the person and not to my phone. Let's be generous with our time. Let's be people who are genuinely wanting to be there and talk with people rather than thinking about the next thing. And then finally, money. For us to see the realization of the dreams and the vision for this church, we are going to need money, as Gareth has already said. But let's be generous with it. Let's look at what we've been given and let's give it back to all that God has got. It's amazing what he does when we start to give back. He gives us more. So, finally, Isaiah 58, as James beautifully read, says this. Where did it go? It was in my Bible a second ago. Here we go. "And if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday." Let me pray. Father, thank you. You have called us to be salt and light. Help us to be generous with it. With our actions, with our time, and with our money. Challenge us this week, we pray. Help us to shine brightly for you. In your name. Amen.